Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomas. Good to see all of you this morning. Happy Father's Day to our fathers out there. I'm sure you're going to hopefully have a great day today. A couple of announcements. This is going to be the last men's ministry, our men's study this Friday. And adult teen challenge is coming next week. So get ready for them. They're going to have some music and testimony and stories. Great bunch of guys. They're going to have some their gifts again they're going to be selling. So give your father an IOU for something really, really good. Be good. Does anyone have anything they would like to bring up or share? Somebody did. Come on. I know it. You're here somewhere. Okay, I guess not. Okay, well, let us stand now for our introit number 87. Join me in our call to worship found in your bulletin. Come, sing praises to God. Rejoice in his presence, for he is our God, a father to the fatherless and a defender to all who need protection, the one in whom the lonely find a home and the prisoner finds release.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you. hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
Our Old Testament lesson is found this morning, Psalm 103, and that's on page 482 in your pew Bible. We'll be reading verses 1 through 18. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Our second reading in the New Testament is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and that is found on page 952 in your pew Bible. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Before we enter into prayer, I would like to just take the liberty to share a little something that John shared with me yesterday morning. And it's a song. I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to play it. But I'm going to read the verses of the chorus. And it's spoken from a father to his son, but You can imagine it's from a father to his children. Lord, I want to be just like you because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you because he wants to be just like me. Well, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Loving God, eternal Heavenly Father, you are a good, good Father, and we are so blessed to be called your children. We thank you, Lord, that you love us as you do, that you willingly gave up yourself for us so that we could be in continual fellowship with you. We just thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made on the cross and what it means to each one of us. And Lord, this day, as we honor our fathers who have some gone before us and some are with us still, we just thank you, Lord, that you have created the family the way you have created it, that we can have loving parents, Lord. And I just pray that as we are in that position of representing you to those around us, Lord, that we will take up that charge faithfully and that we will live, Lord, lives that are representative of you. And that you will help us, Lord, because that is not an easy task. So, Lord, we just come before you humbly, and we ask, oh God, that you will help us in that endeavor. And Lord, we also lift up members of our church family who are hurting and in need of prayer and in need of care. And we think of Linda Campbell, Lord, who spent quite a significant time in the ER yesterday. We ask, Lord, that you will bring healing to her and encouragement. Watch over her, Lord God. We pray for the McClay family. Lord Jesus, meet their needs. Father God, we ask your blessing on Rogene and Carolyn Stratman. Lord, we pray for continued healing for Chris. Lord, just bless her. Lead her in the way that you would have her go. Give her wisdom as she navigates the care system. Lord God, we just pray for the leadership of our church. We thank you, God, that you are taking us in a new direction. We ask, oh God, that you will give us wisdom and that you will help us, Lord, in our search for a new pastor. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing within this church. Help us to be lights in our town, in our state, in our world, Lord God. You've given each of us a circle of influence, and help us, Lord, to be aware of that and to be your hands and feet. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.
Father's Day, it's a great day for each of us to celebrate our fathers and to think back to the memories we have. Believe me, you are blessed if you still have your father with you. I ask you to hug him. Talk to him about the past. Share with him. Ask him questions. When did your parents meet? What was your first car? What was your first job like? Ask them anything. Talk with them. You will never regret it. Because unfortunately for some of us, the day came when there will be no more answers, no more hugs, no more stories. Treasure what you have. I have a picture of my father in his wheelchair, and every time I look at it, I just want to give him a hug. And I can't do that. But I look forward to the day when I'm in heaven where I could stand face to face, eye to eye, and give him that hug. Today is a great day for us to step back, to look back and remember. I truly hope it is for you also. It's amazing how different our childhoods were, how Some people had great childhoods. Some people had amazing stories. Some people seem to forget the tough times and only talk about the good times. Some people hurt. Some people had tough times. None of us can tell the same stories. Fathers, like mothers and children, all vary in so many different ways, from who we were to who we are today. My father is and was my hero. Who you saw on Sunday morning is who you saw the other 6 days of the week, a godly man and a godly leader. We have all heard the father lines, "I am not made of money, you know. If you break your leg, don't come running to me." Did you ever hear these words? "If you don't finish everything on your plate for supper, there are kids starving in Africa who would love to have what you have." My answer was always the same. "I'll give you the money. Mail it to them. I'll bet they mail it back." Baked beans. Baked beans. It was always baked beans for me. My father loved them. I hated them. I'd complain. You get a scoop. You complain more. You get a more scoop. I held my nose. They still tasted like baked beans. Even the dog wouldn't eat them. And if I ever complained, he'd go, "This hurts me more than it does you." I don't think so. Mark Twain said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant. I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much that old man had learned in 7 years. Now, Father's Day is a great day to remember, but it's also a great day to pause and to honor the men around us here today in our church. The men sitting among you are very special people in the lives of this church, your families. As Christian men, we know that godly men in our day and age, it's no easy task. It's tough. But I encourage you to step out into your calling that you have been given, because you have been given a calling. And I would challenge you today to view yourselves as servant leaders, as the prophets, the priests, and the kings in your homes. Numbers 13, 1 through 2 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I have given to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of your leaders.'" Numbers 18 through 19, 26 through 31. "See that the land is like what it is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, whether they're few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or is it bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they walled, unwalled, or are they fortified?" They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them that the whole assembly showed them, and they actually showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account: "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified, and they are very large." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of this land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone with him said, "We can't attack the people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. They said that the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. Matthew 6:31 says, "But seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well." Now, Caleb offers several lessons about being a man of God. He is faithful. He is consistent. He is courageous. And he is determined. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is calling men everywhere into a similar example by faith. By this time in Jewish history, God had used Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He led them through the Red Sea, where he destroyed the army which was following behind them. Moses had led them to the Mount Sinai, where they got the Ten Commandments. With a strike, he gets water from a rock, and then he leads them to the Jordan River. On the other side of the river was their new home. It was the Promised Land. They had dreamed about it for centuries as they worked as slaves in Egypt. But before God had let them enter this land, he told Moses to take 12 men, one from each of the tribes, to go to the Promised Land as spies and to report back. The spies checked out the land for 40 days. And when they came back, 10 of them said the land was filled with giants. And they reported there was no way that they could beat them. But two of the men, Joshua and Caleb, shared a different story. They delivered an honest report, a faith-filled response to the potential dangers. They chose to stand firm and to be bold, telling the people to trust God and that God would be faithful to deliver them into the land that he had promised. Now, what inspired these two men to stand alone in their convictions? Numbers 14:24 says, "But because my servant Caleb was a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he was sent to, and his descendants will inherit it." Verse 24 tells us that it's what's inside that makes a difference. We these days worry about what's on the outside, how people look, what kind of car they have, what they have. It's what's on the inside that counts. Think for a moment about two balloons. One balloon is filled with water. It looks pretty, and it sits there on the ground. It's weighed down. It's unable to rise. The other balloon is filled with helium. It pulls at its core. It's always straining and reaching for the heavens. It's what's inside that makes a difference. The same is true for men. The thing that makes the difference between a man always straining towards heaven and the one who is content to call this world his home is the spirit which is inside of him. In order to be a man of God, we must have the God spirit inside of us. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, and why Paul commanded us to be filled with the Spirit. If we try to do our best without accepting Jesus Christ, we will never be all that we can be. We will never achieve what we were meant to achieve. We will never stand where we could have stood. For the Holy Spirit is the divine resource of a godly man. So today we need to ask ourselves, are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Numbers 14:24. "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land we went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Caleb followed the Lord completely, even when it meant going against his buddies and the testimony of his brothers. Caleb is willing to do whatever is needed to be done. Whenever the Lord called on him, he heard him, and he did it. In becoming a man of God, we must learn to follow the Lord completely. Follow the Lord. Caleb followed the Lord cheerfully, and he became a man of God that we must also, for us, we must learn to follow the Lord cheerfully also. So today we need to ask ourselves again, do we worship, give, serve this church cheerfully? Or do we sometimes act like it is an obligation or a chore that we have to do? One commentator wrote, "If you are just serving out of obligation, if that's the way that you feel, then don't do it. God doesn't need slaves to serve his throne. He is the Lord of the empire of love. He wants men, women, and children who serve him cheerfully because they love him and because they are grateful for all that he has done for them. Jesus said he would bring his church, he would build his church, and he can do it without the complainer's labor or the miser's money. Being a man of God means that you act differently than the others do. You follow the Lord completely. You follow the Lord cheerfully, and you do follow the Lord constantly." J. Joshua 14, 10 through 11 says, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he kept me alive for 45 years since the time that he said to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. From the day Caleb began following the Lord until his death, he followed the Lord constantly. 45 years after he had gone to the promised land as a spy, Caleb was still following the Lord. He didn't join in with the complainers because it was the easy thing to do. He never quit asking God what God wanted him to do. At 85, you didn't find him sitting around in a rocking chair watching the world go by and talking about the good old days. No, he was still seeking and looking to the Lord, working for God's kingdom. And he was looking for the next challenge for God, the man of God, because he acted differently, because he follows the Lord constantly. When Caleb and the other spies returned to the promised land and gave their reports, the others talked of the giants in the walled cities. They wanted to return to Egypt because that's what they always wanted to do. It was the easy way out. It was easy to run back home. But not Caleb. When he looked back, he remembered the chains. He remembered the past. He remembered the bondage in Egypt. And he remembered the miracles of God. And he had faith. And he said, if God could pull us through all of the difficulties that we've been through, if he worked in the past, then he will continue to do so, because Caleb had faith. If we want to be used by God, then we must follow him in faith. When difficulties arise, when finances hit us, when things get tight, when there's sickness, when trouble comes, when opportunities arise, we need to speak up, remembering how God has provided and protected in the past, and reminding others that God that we serve is not a wimpy, pretend God. He doesn't give us lip service, but that he is faithful. He is God Almighty, miracle-working, loving God. In difficulties, the man of God has faith, and that makes him act differently than other people. Numbers 14, 24 says, "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land that he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Numbers 36 through 38 says, "So the men Moses sent to explore the land who returned to the whole community grumbling against him by spreading a bad report about it. These men who were responsible for spreading the bad reports about the land were struck down and died by a plague before the Lord. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua and Caleb survived." The verse we just read tells us that the ten who rebelled against God died, but Joshua and Caleb lived. When you give your life to Christ, you become a new creation. You are saved. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. You will be honored." Not only will God save your life, but he will also bring you honor. In the beginning, people made fun of Caleb. They wanted to stone him and Joshua. By the time the Israelites got to the banks of the Jordan River again, all the older men had died except for Joshua and Caleb. They saw that he was a godly man. And you will be remembered. Because of the life Caleb lived, he did the most difficult jobs. If there was a task to be done, he handled it. If there was something tough, he did it. And there were three huge warriors in Mount Hebron. No one wanted to tackle them. No one wanted to fight them. But Caleb did. They had six fingers on their hands and six toes on their feet. But they needed to be driven out. Caleb faced the giants, and he defeated them. And as we walk with God, we will be given difficult tasks also. We will be given difficult jobs. In John 16:33, Jesus warns us, "In this life, you will have trouble." So we know the difficulties will come. Caleb was faithful, he was bold, he was courageous, and he was determined. Caleb was a man of God, imitating and modeling our lives after. Just as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Men, the Lord has issued a call for godly men. He is looking for men to take up the cross and follow him. He is looking for men that will walk with him constantly, who will take a stand for the right, and who will invest their lives into something that will last for generations to come. He's looking for godly leaders willing to lead others. He's looking for those who are willing to become his godly men. So today is a good day to ask yourselves, are you that kind of man? I can't help but think of a quote in closing by Billy Graham. A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in all of our society. A father's impact is truly eternal. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the many godly examples that you have shown us in our lives, who have shown us through this church, the many leaders and godly men who have come before us. Give us the strength and courage to answer the call to be the godly men and to lead in our homes, our community, and our churches today. Amen.
Let's go.
look at this as a blessing and a great joy to be able to give back to our Lord. Sunday. But Father God, we give you thanks and praise for all the men who have come into our lives, and those who have guided us and helped us. And we thank you for the lessons they have given us and the lessons learned. We praise you and thank you, Lord, that we are able to give back to you and give back to you with open hearts, willingly. In your name we pray.
Good God. Keep praising your name at the top of my lungs.
guys, we're getting out a little early, so you can all come on downstairs. You have no excuses now. You can come down, have something to eat, and share, and greet all of the men around this church willingly. And we just ask that you show up next week because we're going to have the Adult Teen Challenge, and they're going to do a great job, and they do need your support. They do need to hear out of you. So, grass withers and flowers fade, but the word of our Lord that endures forever. We go now in his peace, and have a great week. Amen. Amen. Hey, bud.